regardless of what creative industry that you're in, just realize that if you just keep on creating and you keep getting your stuff in front of other people and you're there to help, doors will open.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, all right, I am more than excited to have Mike Kim on the Passion Behind the Art Show. Speaker, marketing strategist, copywriter, like just a, he's just a well-endowed man when it comes to branding and building a brand identity. Mike, welcome.
I am excited to be here. Thank you for all of you who are tuning in. I hope to add some value to you today. And I'm excited. We're alive. We're on the right side. We're on the right side of the ground. You know, we're above ground, not below it. It's a good time to be alive. You know,
I love that. And we're gonna get into it, but let's jump. Let's get started. How did your journey in this marketing copywriting world start?
Yeah. So when it comes to writing, I had always been a stronger writer, like academically, than anything else I did in school. Right. So, you know, I'm Korean. I know you guys can't see me, but you know, Asian people are supposed to be good at math. Well, that's true for everyone except for me. Okay. I sucked at math. I hated math. I hated science. I was like, this sucks. I hate it. And I was always better at history and English. And I didn't really want to pursue a career in it though, you know, for a number of years, I did a lot of music. I was involved in a church that I was growing up in New Jersey. And then a couple of years later, when I got out of college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. And I took a job as the music director at a fairly large church in Hartford, Connecticut. Not many people know that story anymore. So I had all this like music and art experience. And yet I was also marketing at the same time because we were doing conferences, we had weekly events, you know, I'm doing a lot of team recruitment and building. So there's a lot of art and yet a lot of science in there in terms of building an organization. And so after 4 years, Daryl, I didn't really want to do that anymore, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And because I didn't have an outlet for music or for speaking, which I was doing a lot of at the church, I started a blog just as an outlet. And that blog grew an audience. It helped me kind of learn the online space. And then I stumbled onto this thing called copywriting. I was like, oh, I can do that because I'm a writer. And it's actually much more interesting than academic writing and writing papers, right? And so when I discovered marketing, it was like my world blew up in a good way because it was a perfect blend of art and science. Like organizational growth, right? Like I could look at numbers. And so I started down the marketing path. I got a job at a company that I used to work at when I was in college, and they made me the chief marketing officer of the company. And everything I did was done through the lens of stronger copywriting. And so that's how I got to where I am today. It's kind of crazy, but that's how it happened.
So, and what you said about copywriting versus regular writing is 100% correct. It's like the idea of putting words together to get someone to make to make an action, to take action on something is very fascinating to me, especially as a designer. So that is super fascinating. So have you like thrown away the whole music type deal off your past?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't like all my calluses on my fingers are gone from playing guitar. my keyboard is in the case. I have a full size Yamaha 88. It's like stuck in the case. I don't even have room for it anymore. I still play the guitar once in a while because as a creative, you know, you're a designer, I'm a writer, I was a musician. You gotta engage your creative faculties in different ways. You can't just do one thing all the time. And so once in a while, I'll pick it up and stuff like that. But really, because now I'm an entrepreneur and I'm running my own business, like, you know, life is busy and there's always stuff going on. And it's still an important part. I listen to a lot more music than I did actually when I was playing music.
Right.
That's interesting. So I really appreciate the artistic side of it. I'll watch movies. I'll try to do stuff that's keeping my eyes on other people's art outside of the online marketing space. But no, I don't do a lot of music anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Other than karaoke. If I had too much to drink, the beast comes out and everyone's like, what the crap? How did you can sing? I'm like, oh, I can bring it. You put me in the right song in the right key, I will bring it. And so, yeah, there's videos all over online now of all that stuff. But yeah, for the most part, it's just, you know, it's work and trying to keep my creativity fresh. But not a lot of music anymore.
All right. So let me just give you a little bit of a backstory. The first time I heard of you was when you were on The Art of Value.
Okay. Yeah. Kirk. Yeah.
Yes. Kirk Bowman. And at that point, I was making a shift in my career. And because I've moved to a different state, left New York, went to a different state. And so all my resources and stuff like that at that time was like just completely different. And I remember, first of all, getting exposure to The Art of Value opened my eyes to this way of pricing that I didn't even know existed, right?
Yeah.
And then to hear the way you talk about branding, and it's from a designer, like branding is always like a big part of what we're doing, especially if we got like one specific company or something like that, we're trying to help them communicate their message. Like branding is always a big part of it. And hearing you kind of talk about branding and all of that stuff, it kind of opened my eyes to this world where I'm now fully immersed in, like, I didn't even really know existed. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, like, thank you for that, because, like, I was like, I got to, at one point, some point, at that time, I had no idea that I would have you on the podcast. But, I mean, like, thank you for that, man, because that really, between The Art of Value and hearing you talk on the podcast really took me down this path and got me exposed to so many different people, so many different avenues, so many different ventures that, like, today, like, it's just kind of coming full circle.
Oh, that's awesome, man. And you know, like, and for those of you listening, like, that's a lesson why you keep creating, because you just never know who's watching, who's listening. You just never know. And if all we do is just keep creating, like, you know, you'll create that kind of momentum. You'll make an impact even though you don't realize it. Mm. And that's why I say yes to so many opportunities, as long as it fits a schedule that, you know, it's the right time. But I'm always trying to do that. I'm trying to just keep on creating. And I create, and you create, and many of you who are listening, you create because you love creating. It's not a business tactic. It's not a business strategy. It's not a marketing channel. You do it because you really just love creating. And to do that for the sake of it is good enough. Exactly. You know, now, obviously, you know, with the branding, like, how do we do this intentionally to grow an audience? How do we, you know, grow our business? But at the end of the day, when you look at marketing, and a lot of people ask me about marketing and branding, I say, marketing isn't about closing a sale. It's about opening a relationship. Mm. And somehow, you know, I recorded an interview with Kirk Bowman, who I got to know relationship through a mastermind group that he and I were in together. And he invited me on the podcast because we got to know each other and he liked my stuff. And here we are.
Exactly.
You know, and it's all about relationship, right? It's exactly. All like, it's all relationship building. So, regardless of what creative industry that you're in, just realize that if you just keep on creating and you keep getting your stuff in front of other people and you're there to help, doors will open. So, yeah, that's awesome. I definitely never knew that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and what you said is fine, is 100% correct. Relationships and constantly creating in that craft that you are into. Will open doors that, and which has happened for me. Yeah. So in that vein, like, I know you've worked for like people like John Maxwell, Don Miller, like you've rubbed shoulders with a host of other people, having them on your podcast. Like, what was it like, especially those two names? Because those two names stand out to me, Donald Miller. Mm-hmm. What was it like when you first got connected with John Maxwell? How did that happen? What was that like?
Yeah, so John Maxwell was, this is kind of a crazy story. And again, it just goes back to what I said about relationships. So most of the big clients that I've landed, and I don't do a lot of client work anymore, really. But when I was doing a lot of that, most of the big clients I landed were through relationships. Mm. They were through referrals. I can't think, and I'm not saying this to boast or anything. I'm just like, I can't think of a time where I had to go after clients and solicit like client projects, because I was fortunate. And, you know, I'd love to say that was intentional, Daryl, but I just stumbled into it because I got an early start blogging, podcasting, building a brand around myself, establishing my position, right? Positioning myself to just work with clients that I felt like would make sense for me, because I was still doing it while I was working my job and I didn't have all these disposable hours.
Right.
And so John and that whole project was brokered by, get this, okay, so probably like 2011, 2012, a friend of mine wrote a song, and he was like the music director at this big church in like upstate New York. And we wrote a song together. He's like, yo, let's record a video of this, and we're going to get the choir here, and you wrote it, so you should be in the video. Okay. So we hired a video crew to come film the thing. And these guys were folks that I kind of knew, but wasn't super friends with. Mm. And they shot the video and produced it. And you can still find it on YouTube. It's crazy. And he and I got to know each other. One of the video guys and I got to know each other, and we had a lot of mutual friends. So he follows my work for like 6 or 7 years, follows my work as I left the church and ministry and music space and went full on into marketing. And he's just looking at my stuff. He doesn't buy anything from me. Just like, he's just kind of noticing what I'm doing. He and his wife go to work for the president of the John Maxwell team. Founder and president of the John Maxwell team. And his wife is helping this guy in various administrative tasks. And so they're spending a lot of time together. And so my buddy Andrew, the video guy, he says, Andrew Manzano, he goes to the president, you should hire my friend Mike Kim. You guys should talk. And so Andrew calls me. Hey, I just put you in touch with the president of the John Maxwell team. And Daryl, honestly, I was like, dude, thank you, but you're the video guy, okay? People you don't even work for them. You're not even like on staff. You're a contractor. I'm like, thank you. I'll take the call. There's no way this is going to actually pan out, because people don't listen to the video guy. Okay. They don't listen to the subcontractor, right?
You're not even
part of their team. Okay. So we have a phone call, and this guy goes, his name is Paul Martinelli. He goes, Mike, I don't know who you are, but everybody is telling me to talk to you. And when that happens, I start to pay attention. So what do you do? And who are you? Where do you live? And I'm like, well, I don't know who you are either. So we're on even ground. And so the thing is that's a personality thing for me. Like, I don't get starstruck really easily.
Right.
Right. And I think because I'm in marketing, like I understand everyone's wants and desires are the same. Right. They're at different scales. Right. You might have 1 million followers versus having 1,000 followers, but the desire is still the same.
Right.
OK. And so we talked, and then a few months later, next thing I know, he was like, would you come move to Florida for a while and work with us? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. Are you crazy? Like, because I had just gone through a divorce. It finally settled. My life was like finally calmed down. That was just a crazy 3 years for me. And I was like, dude, I really am honored, but I'm about 3 days away. I was literally 3 days away from buying an around the world plane ticket to go scuba diving and drink scotch for like 6 months and just travel the world after this whole divorce settled down. And the guy goes to me, they flew up to DC to meet me. And we met in a hotel. They flew their whole team up to meet me and recruit me. And he's like, he goes, well, you can drink scotch and scuba dive in Florida. And I'm like, ah, that's true. And so I took the contract. And that's how it happened. It happened through a relationship with a videographer who shot something for me on a project from a completely different life that I was in.
Not to mention the years that make the gap.
Yeah. But my point is, how did he stay in a relationship with me? How did Andrew stay in a relationship with me? I just kept creating stuff.
Right.
I created stuff that was worth noticing. He'd see it on Facebook. He never commented on anything. He just was watching. And then when the time was right, he just connected us. And that's how it happened. And, you know, you'll find that, you know, the good people connect you to the good people who know the other good people. And that's how that happened. It's the same thing with Donald Miller. I built a reputation for myself in my space. And he was at a retreat with a bunch of other business leaders, Ray Edwards, Michael Hyatt, who also knew me. And he said to them, I need someone to help me with my book. And both of them told him, hire Mike Kim. He's like, who's Mike Kim? And he filled out my intake form. I mean, like my client form on my website, he filled it out. And we had a call, and I was just like, that's funny. All right, I don't know if this is real or not, but all right. And the thing was, we got on this call, and Don is a very, very nice guy. I can't say enough about that guy. He was one of the easiest people to work with, one of the most fun projects I did. Mm. But, you know, when you go into that client relationship, like you've got to be willing to be honest. And I told him on that call, I was like, hey, I just want to be honest with you. I kind of shoot straight from the hip here.
Right.
You know, I'm pretty direct. I've never read anything you've written. Hmm. Like, I know that I have heard of you. I know you've written a lot of books. I've never read anything you've written. So at least you know that I'm not going to fanboy you and think everything you're doing is good. I'm going to tell you when I don't think this is a good idea. And I think you really appreciated that. Hmm. So, you know, you land these big clients and it's easy to get enamored by them, be around them. I did another project with Tony Horton from Beachbody, and I'm at his house in his home gym. But I'm just like, at the end of the day, it's just Tony Horton. Yeah, I've been working out to his videos for like 3 years, and I told him that. But at the end of the day, he's just a regular guy. Mm. And my role there is to help him accomplish his goal, his mission. And I just don't get, you know, blown away by this stuff. You know, and I think if you're just confident in what you can do, what you can bring to the table and build relationship with people, like these kinds of opportunities will find you. That's honestly how it's worked for me. I've just been recommendable, I guess.
Man, those are some, pretty awesome stories. But at the same time, I love the fact that you kind of were able to kind of keep it even keel. You know what I mean? Treating everyone as if like, okay, this is a client that's coming in versus, as you said, getting starstruck.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the times too, for those of us who are still doing projects and doing that kind of thing. So here's what I tell a lot of people, like if you land a big time client, a very well known client, mm-hmm. they are still a client and they are only a client.
Right.
They are not your marketing agency. They're not there to promote you. You can't assume that they're going to tell everybody what a great job you did, because at the end of the day, you're just a contractor.
Exactly.
And that's a little sobering. Luckily, I had relationships with these guys where I can tell people that I worked with them. Mm-hmm. I can't tell them exactly everything I did, but I worked with them. They've been generous enough to reciprocate and come onto my podcast and tell the world about me. And that's gravy. That's a bonus. That's never anything that I expect from them that is not in my contract. And so I think a lot of designers, writers, freelancers, creatives, they think like their ticket to an easier life is to land a really big client. It's going to be smooth sailing. And that's not true, right? You still have to generate your own leads. You still have to build your own brand. You still have to go out there and be someone who the market knows is worth working with. And, you know, if you can keep it like that, it will actually buffer you from being disappointed that something bigger didn't happen. So, yeah.
It's true. Yeah. And it's funny that you said something like that, because, like, I don't know. I've noticed this, like, the bigger the clients, the less you could say publicly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
totally.
So it's just like you get paid well, but like the bigger the clients, and if you do get to say something, it's like usually you have like a long time period to wait before you can even say something about it. Mm-hmm. So it's just like that's one of the funniest things that I learned as I got bigger clients and stuff like that. It's just like you don't really get the chance to say that.
No. They'll have NDAs, you know, non-disclosure agreements, all of it. Because they don't want, because like, let's say like you screw around, you know, a year after a project and you get your name tarnished and everyone sees their logo all over your stuff.
Right.
It's like true. Now it's a public relation nightmare for them. So it's completely understandable. And, you know, I've had contractors work with me on my business and some of them have just been one-off contractors. And I didn't, you know, I'm kind of the mind that if I can't see myself working with you for a lifetime, then I'm probably not even going to work with you for a day. And that does happen, like where I'm trying out different writers and different projects and stuff like that. But for the most part, the people who I work with, my executive assistant / integrator, my Facebook ads integrator, my web designer, graphic designer, my podcast producer, I've worked with those people fully on a contractor basis for years. I mean, my designer, probably for 10 years now. And so like, if one person comes along and writes one blog post for me and they're like, can I put you on my site? I'm like, no, I cannot say that you worked with me.
Exactly.
Jason, my designer, Chelsea, my assistant, Liz, the funnels, and Facebook ads, Danny, my podcast. Yeah, absolutely. They can have my roaring endorsement. But you wrote one blog post for me or you designed one page for me. Like, as the owner, I'm just like, I can't in integrity say that. It's not even about like, I don't want you to use my name. Right. It's like, dude, you just wrote one blog post for me. You're not Mike Kim's copywriter. Right. So, it goes both ways. And I think sometimes we forget or we're not able to see it from the other person's perspective. That's how it really is.
That's true. All right. So what should people know about building a brand?
Building a brand has to be super intentional. Like, you have to be intentional. And outside of great design, like all of that stuff, the way you portray yourself, to me, a brand is really about positioning. And what I mean by positioning is, what is your relationship relative to the competition? Mm. What makes you different, right? So one of the things that I've thought in my courses and my groups is that when I started out, I created a little positioning exercise because I couldn't make sense of who my competition was, what made me different in the space. So if you think about like a graph, like an x-axis and a y-axis, right? And four quadrants, and the top line, you know, top to bottom is professional marketers and amateur marketers. Who do I speak to, right? Professional marketers or amateur marketers? Clearly, I speak to amateur marketers because I'm teaching regular business owners how to market themselves.
Right.
There are companies who teach marketing to professional marketers, ClickFunnels, HubSpot, copy blogger. These are people who are speaking to other marketers. That's not my business.
Right.
I speak to amateur marketers. And on the x-axis, you know, left to right, what do I teach? Do I teach strategies or do I teach tactics? And I teach strategies because I can't write 10 blog posts a week on conversion rates and what data says. I don't even have that much traffic to do that. You know who does that really well? Neil Patel and QuickSpro. Mm. You know who does that really well? HubSpot. ClickFunnels. Those guys teach tactics.
Right.
Change this button color. Right? So change this one word in your copy and you'll see an increase of 17% in your conversions. I don't write stuff like that. Mm. So I positioned myself as someone who teaches strategy to amateur marketers. So what that means is that ClickFunnels, they're not my competition. HubSpot, not my competition. Russell Brunson is not my competition. And so it takes a lot of the burden off of me. And I look at who else is my competition. So I might look at Amy Porterfield, for example.
Right.
She teaches amateur marketers strategies. But she also teaches a lot of tactics because she has so much traffic. And she also teaches mostly female entrepreneurs. So I don't have to freak out about Amy doing, I can actually partner with her on some things if the opportunity arose, right? Or Ray Edwards, who's a copywriter and a mentor of mine early on. And, you know, it's easy for me to think like, well, I speak, you know, I do the same thing Ray does. He teaches copywriting and strategy to amateur marketers. Yeah, but then his audience tends to veer a little bit older.
Right.
My audience is younger. And so I'm not feeling like it's an indirect competition, right? And we have partnered on a lot of things together. And when he teaches something on copywriting, I teach branding, a personal branding. So it's peanut butter and jelly. It's not peanut butter and more peanut butter,
right?
So when you are looking at building a brand, a personal brand around yourself, you got to be really clear on like where you sit relative to the competition. Another way of looking at it is finding your niche. And there is so much talk about, you know, your niche. And I hate that word. When people told me to niche down, I was like, no, that's crazy. I'm giving things up, right? Well, who's your ideal client? Anyone who will pay me money. And that's not a good thing, right? Early on, I get it. I did that too.
Right.
But when you look at a vertical focus, that's the industry that you serve, right? The industry that you serve. And then the horizontal focus is what you actually provide for that industry. So, for example, there might be an ad agency, a marketing agency that just markets for casinos, but they do everything for casinos.
Right.
Website, social media ads, billboards, magazines, you know, and print, you know, all podcasting, YouTube, they do everything, but just for casinos. So they have a vertical focus. Their horizontal is all over the place, but that's fine. And then you'll have other people, like a fulfillment company that, let's say, makes boxes, right? They make packaging, and they make boxes for every industry. They have a horizontal focus. What's the one thing they do? Boxes. But they build boxes for pet shops, right, with their little pet toys. They build boxes for book companies. They build boxes for toy companies, but they just build boxes, right? So if you're a designer, like, I only do websites. Well, for who? Anyone, but I only do websites. Well, you got a horizontal focus. Mm-hmm. I'm a marketing consultant and I only work with female entrepreneurs. Well, what do you do for them? Everything. So both of those cases are better than just taking anyone for money. Mm. But if you can say, I only write sales page copy for coaches, consultants, and speakers who are selling information products, that's where I was niched for a few years.
Right.
So that's why it really doubled down. So if you look at my client list, John Maxwell, Donald Miller, Suzanne Evans, Ray Edwards, Michael Hyatt, what do they all have in common? They're in the same industry and they sell information products. And they hired me for what? Sales and marketing campaigns, not for blog writing, not for Facebook ads, for like literally the launch. And that's how I niche down. So yeah, that'll help a lot of us. Maybe you're doing too much. You have too much on the menu, or maybe you have too many industries that you're serving, too many vertical focus, too many verticals that you're focusing on. So you narrow that down and you'll probably find your sweet spot somewhere in there.
I just want to say this, like, anything that Mike has shared and I've taken it in has worked every time.
Thank you.
Like, when you had the thing going on about the nonprofit stuff, I bought that, mm-hmm. and it worked. I mean, all your tactics, anything that you download, anything that you sign up for, I just want to let anyone who's listening to this, it works.
Thank you.
Because even just saying that, like, I remember you did a live, I remember what you did it on, but you had like a thing where you said, tell me what you do and who do you serve? And it's kind of like what you just talked about. And it was like a way for everyone who was listening and watching to write one sentence of who you are and who you serve. And it was pretty cool because I tried it. And, I mean, is this just like, how does someone get to be able to learn this information? Like, is this just like, okay, this is a one of a kind, Mike Kim, just, you know what I mean? Or it's like, is there like a formula to kind of get better at
this? Yeah, most of the stuff that I've taught, all these questions and the way that I frame it, I've learned on the field of play. I don't think that you can come up with your best stuff in practice. You know, you have to get out on the court. You have to get out onto the field. You have to get onto the stage. Right. I'm a big basketball fan, you know, it's like, and I'm missing basketball hard right now, you know, like,
don't even get me started.
Oh gosh. It's like, this is supposed to be the playoffs soon. Right. And I was just like, dang.
Yep.
And so it's like, you know, you watch all these highlights and I'm watching the Michael Jordan documentary. It's fascinating to see like the behind the scenes and how they practice, but those aren't the greatest moments. The greatest moments happen in the biggest moments, right? It's the highlights that we've all seen of Jordan or Kobe Bryant or, you know, LeBron or whoever. And it's like, you can't come up with that kind of a dunk or that kind of a shot or that kind of a play in practice. You can't say, I'm going to practice this over and over again in case this situation happens in the game. There are certain things that you can practice. But what I've done to continually stay sharp is I continually host webinars. I continually do coaching calls with my communities. I continually speak from stage, and I continually do masterminds and workshops. All of the best ideas have come from doing those things. Like everything I just shared with you guys today was created in one of those four contexts, because somebody probably asked me a question right there in front of other people. And I'm like, well, all right, we're live now. I can't make this up. I can't give you a canned answer because I don't know how to answer this. Let me get creative. And I just draw it on a board. And I'm like, if I can remember it quickly, then I know I've made it simple enough for other people to lay a hold of. And so here you are. You're repeating those same two questions that I probably shared like a long time ago on a webinar somewhere. And that makes me feel like, okay, I did the hard work of making it simple. And when you can do that, you give people creativity and you give them the room to think critically and to come up with their own ideas, but you've given them some sort of framework to work with it, right? And I say the framework frames the work. That's exactly. Because if you give that, then they can think creatively. You're not handholding them through everything. But that's where I've come up with most of my ideas. And I just teach them over and over again until they become second nature. And, you know, I got to put them into a book format or something like that. But, you know, that's how I created my courses. That's how I know what works. And that's why, you know, one builds on another. So if I teach something in a mastermind group or a workshop with a small number of people and they all go, aha, that makes total sense. Well, I know it's going to work once I take it out of there and I speak it from stage. And I know it's going to work on social media when I write a blog post or create a podcast or an Instagram update or something. It's going to work. And so all of my stuff out there is stuff that works. But I come up with it also when I'm in those moments. You know, sometimes it's just spontaneous. Like one day I was speaking at Social Media Marketing World last year. It was when the last Avengers movie came out. It wasn't this past year, but it was last year. And, for some reason, like, you know, some people were like, I was talking about copywriting and they're like, you know, where should we build our platform or, you know, where should we build our company's media content? I'm like, on your own stuff, like, don't use social media. Don't depend on that too much. And in the spur of the moment, I was like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is like Thanos. He's like the Thanos of the internet. Any of you watch the Avengers, right? He's like, With one snap of his finger, he can make half the internet disappear. You know, if he decides that they don't like your Facebook page, boom, there goes your audience, Facebook and Instagram. And they all laughed because it was just in that moment. It was improvised because I just watched Avengers, right? But I used that example and I used it for a year while the movie was still fresh. Now, if I said it, like, people would be like, wait, what? Who? But I come up with those ideas. I come up with those things in the moment. So, you know, it's the same thing for all of us, right, who are creatives. Our best work is done when we're really, really on the field of play.
I love that. And I want to tell you, if you said that now, it still makes sense because it's just like so much clarity comes in within that. Like, okay, if he takes your page, he can literally, like, you have no control. And that's the biggest thing that you're trying to point out. Like, you have no control what's going on any of these platforms.
Yeah.
I love it. So how has podcasting influenced this career that you have?
Yeah. So early on, I started my podcast in 2014 and I don't even know why I did it. It just seemed like everyone was talking about podcasting and I was like, I can do that. I was a speaker. I was a musician. This is not going to be hard to do. And I'll tell you what, it was hard to do. Right. So I was like, all right, this is fine. I know, I understand the microphone. And I start talking and there's no one in the room. I'm literally in my bedroom or something, or the second office room. And I'm like, there's no one here. And I'm not used to communicating without having a reciprocation of energy from the live crowd. So I had to learn how to bring 100% of the energy by myself. And so I just kept at it, kept doing it. Oh man, there were a lot of nights I stayed up till 4 a.m. editing my podcast, taking out all the ums. I was being overly perfectionistic about it. I used to outline everything. Now I just show up and talk. And it's because I've been doing it for 6 or 7 years. And the podcast grew as I grew. I actually started the podcast before I became a full-time entrepreneur. And you can go back and listen to that journey and what I was going through. And if you had told me when I started, yeah, you're going to land clients like John Maxwell one day, I'd be like, I think I'm good enough to do it, but I just don't even understand how I would make that connection. Right. So I just kept putting one foot in front of the other, just kept doing the work. And the podcast now has become my number one content creation channel because I can repurpose the content. I can speak much faster than I can write. So I'll transcribe the content, edit the transcript, and turn it into blog posts or social media posts. It's become a great networking tool because experts that I meet, I can have them on my show, I can go on their show. And number three, it's been a great way to for me to promote and open doors for my best students. People who are in my mastermind groups, in particular, I always want to try to open a door for them. Folks who are in my regular coaching group, they're just getting started, but particularly for folks who are in my mastermind group, I want to open doors for them. You know, they're the people that I work with the most right now. And so it's a great way to open doors and kind of create opportunities for people who are coming along, you know, a little bit behind you. And it's super fulfilling and I love it because, you know, it's easy to do now. Early on, it was a struggle. And that's the thing, like one thing I will say, I'm willing to be a newbie over and over again. You know, I don't do great video. I don't really want to learn all these cameras, but I'll learn it. If that's what keeps me sharp and keeps me in the game, like I'm willing to learn enough to be dangerous and then I'll hire out the rest. But that's what the podcast has been for me. It's just been my most constant, most consistent marketing channel. And combined with my email list, that's all I really need. You know, the podcast and the email list. And if you think about it, I own the email list outright. The podcast can get shut down by Apple or whoever, but it's on so many different directories that...
Everyone would have to shut down.
Like, I'm not going to have a Mark Zuckerberg snapping the fingers where it's just gone. So when I look at my business as a creator, as a consultant, as a speaker, as a coach, I just think about what assets do I have? And my assets are my email list and my podcast channel. I can technically sell my email list and technically sell my podcast feed. And I can bring someone in there and they, oh, we want to buy your podcast feed. We want to take over your show. Great. Here, we can talk money.
Right.
And those are the two things it's that true. I no one's going to buy my Instagram from me. No one's going to buy my Facebook account. No one's going to buy MikeKim.com. They're just not going to. So those are the two assets that I have.
I love that. Man, email list. People still use email.
Oh, yeah.
What are some good tips on growing your email list?
So back in the day, people used to say, well, just create content and people opt into it. That's not true anymore. It's just too hard. It's going to take too long. You got to launch stuff. You've got to host webinars because people will sign up for the webinars. I have a 3-video series right now that I've made open for people, and it's just a branding boot camp. It's completely free, but you have to sign up because that's where you get the videos, right? You sign up via email, and I have a whole campaign behind it, and it sends you the videos. It's all automated, so you sign up for those videos. Speaking engagements have grown my email list, not immensely. It's, you know, I can't speak every day, but if I go speak at Social Media Marketing World and I offer everybody, you can get my slides, just, you know, sign up here. I have their email address. And so anything that I'm doing, I'm trying to point back to growing the email list. Now, every email I send, I get, you know, 30 people who unsubscribe. Right. That's a lot of people who unsubscribe in a month. Like if I send 10 emails a month, I send more than that. That's 300 people that have unsubscribed. So what I've got to do is consistently do things that keep the list growing, because my email list, your email list, is never going to stay static. It's always going to change, and it is like a shopping mall. Your email list is a shopping mall. It's like people come and go. Not everybody who walks into the mall is going to shop at your store and buy something. You have to be willing to accept that it's a revolving door. And if you want to shop in the mall, it doesn't mean you're like, oh crap, we didn't convert 100% of people who walked in the store. Of course not. No one would ever assume that. But for those of us who are in the online space, we assume that everybody who comes in is going to like buy something. It's like, yo, get realistic here. You have to do the hard work of keep traffic coming in, keep people coming in through your lobby, keep people walking past the store and walking in. And that's really it. So I don't get offended when people unsubscribe from my list.
Sometimes I look at it as like,
maybe
this is just not for you right now. Or that's a way for me to filter out, you know, the person that shouldn't be on the list. You know, it's just so many different things. I don't really think about it as like, okay, oh my gosh, someone doesn't want to, you know, get my emails anymore.
Yeah, I had this guy sign up. We just did a small launch, and we had some like 65 new students in one of my programs just over the last week. And I'm looking at the people who signed up, and it's like this one guy I've known, he's been on my list. He's interacted with me since probably 2011, and he finally bought something because it was the right time for him. Exactly. Right time, right offer. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I hear from people all the time. I've been following you for years and I finally joined this program. I hear it all the time. And so that's why, you know, the start of our conversation, I was like, you gotta just create for the sake of creating. You gotta create because you really want to add value to people. I think the entire quarantine and global pandemic situation, I just call it Corona apocalypse, right? It's weeded out the people who really are creating content to help other people. The market is not stupid. They're not dumb. They know. They can tell. They can sniff it out. So, I'm just glad that, you know, I decided early on, and this is like the challenge that I would leave you guys all with. It's like, I decided early on that I was going to create great content no matter what. I wanted to create amazing material rather than recycle what everyone else is doing out there. And most people say, yeah, I want to do that, but they're not willing to do what it takes to do that. For me, what it takes to do that is to consistently put myself in front of people and throw myself off the deep end, you know, do these webinars, be willing to answer the elephant in the room questions, be willing to like, you know, if we use a basketball now, take the last shot at the end of the game. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to continually throw myself off the ledge. And I've coached people, I've seen people in my groups for years who know they should do a webinar and they can't pull the trigger. For 3 years, they can't pull the trigger. And I'm like, you're not going to make it in this life. You're not cut out to be an entrepreneur. If you can't throw yourself willingly off the cliff, you can't say to the coach, I want to take the last shot. And you're the captain of the team because you're the one man team. Right. You know, it's not going to happen. So like, yes, we need encouragement. We need other people around us at times. And that's why mastermind groups are important. That's why joining these communities are important, because they help you see yourself in a different light. But at the end of the day, it's just you.
At
some point, it's just you. Like when this whole COVID-19 thing happened, it was like, all right, it's me, myself, and I. Am I going to make an offer? Am I going to do something? Or am I going to sit here and mope? Nope. New game. New day, a new stage. You know, I've been watching all these old Kobe Bryant videos. I'm like, oh God, you know, it's like, and his mentality was like, I don't care about the last, I don't care that I missed the last shot. I don't even remember it. I just, next shot, give it to me. I will keep on shooting that thing.
It's got this and, like, relentless confidence.
Relentless. Yeah. Yeah. And you gotta, and you know, I'm feeding myself this kind of content. That's the kind of content I'm feeding myself with. I'm not, you know, reading stuff and exposing myself to videos like, you know, on YouTube that are going to like enable me to like not do stuff. Like I want to take what the world's best at what they did and apply it to what I do, because I want to be one of the world's best at what I do. You know, and it's like if this guy, Kobe Bryant, who we are the same age, can have this kind of mentality, and he is a world champion, one of the most influential people in our generation.
Facts.
And this was his mentality. I can't dunk a basketball, I can't play ball, but I can do what I do well. Let me take that same mindset, the Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant mindset, to doing this. And I'm just gonna, I don't care if you're better than me, I will outwork you, I will create more content than you. I will throw myself repeatedly off the cliff, because that's where I know the best stuff is that I create. And that's been the difference, to be honest. That's been the difference.
Man, this is just chock full of value. Jeez. Book recommendations.
Book recommendations. Okay. For all the marketers and designers, Ogilvy on Advertising, hands down. It was the first marketing book I ever read. And I fell in love with that approach. The second book, most people have maybe not heard of. It's rather new, but it's by my friend Todd Herman, and it's called The Alter Ego Effect. And it's a really interesting study into how the world's top performers create an alter ego so that when they're on the field of play, they become who they've envisioned. So like Beyonce for a long time talked about Sasha Fierce, right? And we've been talking about Kobe Bryant, and when he went through all that crazy stuff with the rape charges and stuff, like the world hated him, he became Black Mamba, right? Bo Jackson said, you know, when I got onto the football field, I wasn't Bo Jackson, I was Jason from Friday the 13th. And I was like, what the hell, right? But they just became a different person. And I think that, you know, there's all this talk out there about being authentic, being you. And that's a nice idea. But in reality, that's not true, man. Like when you get into a boardroom, like a switch flips. Exactly. You're walking with a client or on a call with them, a switch flips. And you become Daryl, like the expert. You become a different version of yourself. And I think all this talk about authenticity means you have to be the same person in every situation. Yes, be true to yourself, but you got to, there are aspects of your personality you've got to be able to turn on. Boom.
Right.
That's true. And when I take this, when I take the stage, I'm not the same person I am at home. It's not true. My friends, even my ex-wife would be like, who was that? What? Who was that? I was like, that's me. It's in there somewhere. You know, Clark Kent becomes Superman at some point. And so Todd Herman's book, The Alter Ego Effect, really, really good to help you if you're still wrestling with some of that mindset stuff. That'll kind of set you on that path. So you study those two. You'll be in really, really good shape.
All right, Mike, before I let you go, where can people go to find you, hear about you, learn all the stuff you're doing?
Yeah, so if you're on, you know, you guys are listening to a podcast, so just feel free to jump over to mine. Yeah, it's a quick switch over on the app, right? So it's called the Brand You Podcast. It's all about helping personal brand business owners start, run, and grow their business. I teach a lot of marketing stuff there. And if you want to get a little bit more of a streamlined experience on getting some clarity on your niche, your offers, and your brand, you can just go to mikekim.com/bootcamp. And that's a 3-video series, completely free. You got a workbook. I ask you all the questions. You can interact with us in the forums, and it's completely free, and it will help you gain that clarity in making sense of your offers. A lot of the stuff I shared today was from that presentation. So yeah, just jump in there, mikekim.com/bootcamp.
And this has just been amazing. Mike, thank you for just being so transparent and just open with just sharing, you know, so much value.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing to the next level to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow, and it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion Behind the Art. Be blessed.